Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's say hi to Chris Powell. Chris is the managing editor of the Journal Inquirer. Stories like that just renew my faith in mankind. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Ray.
How are you?
Very good. Nice summer day again.
Yes, indeed. And it's the heat, I think, that drives people crazy. I think that's what does it. You know, you're sitting there midtown Manhattan, and, well, that's where you go. Which kind of brings
us going to be there soon. I hope they can meet the people.
Which kind of brings us to the one of the topics you've written about, and that is the whole idea of affordable housing. And the fact is, you've got the backstory on this, and you actually go back into history and how this first developed. And what, you know, I know we have a commitment to do in each town so much affordable housing. Defined as what, first of all, Chris? How do you define it?
Well, there's a formula in state law about people with certain incomes being able to, you know, find housing that doesn't consume, I don't know, more than 30% of their budget, something like that. But there is a state formula for defining affordable housing, and the law says that if towns don't have 10% of the housing stock considered affordable, then developers can of affordable housing or housing units that have a lot of affordable housing in it can appeal any rejections to court and get them overwritten. This is a liberal policy law. Connecticut realized that, you know, we're confining so much of the poor in the cities, and they've got to be dispersed because, you know, they can be a burden on towns. So the liberal policy says towns have to have some affordable housing, but at the same time, the legislature has allowed moratoriums on the law to go into effect in certain towns. Okay. And just in the last session, the legislature passed a law extending moratoriums. So, you know, on one hand, people want affordable housing. On the other hand, they...
Theoretically, we love it.
Yeah, right. In practice, it's something else. So they passed the law extending the moratoriums, and the governor vetoed it to keep the affordable housing injections going.
Right.
This is a controversy right now. I think it signifies that even liberal legislators are having second thoughts about affordable housing. Now, the moratorium extension bill passed by overwhelming majorities in both houses of the General Assembly, which signifies that liberals are having second thoughts about affordable housing. And I think we ought to pursue these second thoughts because they're really, you know, two types of poor people. We're all poor. Most of us are poor when we're starting out looking for our first apartment, when
right.
we get out of high school or
right.
or college, and the governor says that, you know, people in jobs that don't pay a lot should be able to live in the towns that they're working in. Well, that's a good principle, but there's other kinds of poor people too, and, you know, that's your
right.
Single mother headed
right, right.
families, you know, with three kids, and she doesn't have a job, or she's underemployed, she can't support her.
Right.
Own kids, she neglects them, and they drag down the school system, get in trouble with the law. This is the demographic that increasingly is overwhelming
right.
the inner suburbs, and I think the liberal
well.
Legislators are starting to see this, and so they want to delay the affordable housing enforcement. The real issue here, I think, is that we will not in Connecticut study our poverty policy and, you know, why it is just manufacturing policy is, you know, more
okay.
than it's alleviating it.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that I've seen in a number of towns, and particularly with, you know, now the education cost sharing being cut to many towns, you know, okay, I mean, I understand where you are. You're in the city. You want to get the heck out. You would like to, actually. You do have an interest in your kids, and you'd like them to get a better education in a better system. But it puts a burden on that system as well.
Yeah, you know, the overwhelming demographic trend of Connecticut in the last 50 years has been the middle class moving away from the cities and now moving away from the inner suburbs to get away from neglected kids. And we just will not look this in the eye.
All right. Hey, one other thing that's going to be coming up later today, and I'm sure you'll have something to say about it, and that, of course, is we don't know yet how the state employees have responded to the offer, approved it, disapproved it. Have you heard anything yet at the Journal Inquirer?
No, I've been listening to your newscast this morning, and I was interested to hear that you found some state employees who did not want to vote for the agreement. It'll be very interesting. My politics is such that I hope they defeat it, because I don't believe in collective bargaining and binding arbitration for government employees.
God, you're cranky.
I think that
you're so cranky.
Well, it's not cranky. It's a matter of the financial survival
of the
state. The Republicans want to legislate the terms of employment with the government, and I think they're right.
Can I hit this for a minute? You had another piece you wrote about Richard Blumenthal. Well, I mean, somebody else did, but I was reading it. You know, how he's concerned with lobsters flying on airplanes and things like that. And a lot of stuff just gets kind of, well, we won't deal with that. God.
Well, yeah, the senator came by I guess it was a fish shop in Old Saybrook, which had sold the lobster that got taken out of his container up in Boston and photographed for Twitter, and this is a great violation of the lobster's privacy, the privacy of the buyer of the lobster. And, you know, I thought that, well, wait a minute, you know, the fish shop put the lobster in the display case in the first place and then complained about the violation of privacy, which seemed a little hypocritical. But I just was disappointed at the senator has so much to say about lobster privacy when we're entering the 17th year of the war in Afghanistan, and I wish I heard a little bit more from him about that.
No cause too small. So there you go. And he got you writing about it, so there you go. So see, a total success. Hey, Chris, have a great week. Will we talk to you next week?
Oh, please. Thank you. Everybody
let's do. I enjoy this. Yeah. Chris Powell, thank you much.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, Chris is the managing editor of the journal Inquirer.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.